poems about farm life, both the harsh realities and the simple joys of living off the land, are found in a new poetry collection by Horo Whenua farmer Janet Newman. Unseasoned Campaigner touches on her memories of her parents and growing up on the family farm that she now works. The poems also explore the challenges farmers face, droughts, disease, and sending animals they've nurtured off to the freezing works. I previously interviewed Janet about her doctoral thesis on traditions of eco-poetry in Aotearoa, New Zealand. Here she is reading one of the poems from Unseasoned Campaigner.
The Huntaway. The Huntaway lays his head in my lap like a human child. I rest my hand on loose pelt coated in hair, soft as the head of a newborn. Wrap my palm around muzzle that all morning scoured the ground for scent of rabbit. Stroke whiskers that map the contours of burrows. Run my fingers along teeth that today crunch the skulls of kits snatched from subterranean nests. My hand in his mouth as in the steel jaws of a trap set for the lightest footfall, rests like a host on the heat of his tongue. I have taken him from his wild nest. His wildness gives in. He bows down, receives my deviant touch, gives to me his whole life, and I take it as easily as I take food from my plate to my mouth.
Janet, last time I spoke to you, you were working on your thesis, you know. How long have you been writing poetry?
I thought we started seriously writing poetry when I did a course at the IIML with Chris Price, and that was in 2007.
And did you find yourself even then quite naturally writing about the farming life?
Well, that was the time just after my mum had died, and I did find myself writing poems about my dad, who was alone for the first time, and so it was quite a strange situation. And I tried to not write about him. I tried to write about things that were cooler, because, you know, everyone says don't write about your father if you're a poet. But fortunately, that was just what I was writing about, because that was what was happening in my life at the time. And then the farming poems have come perhaps later, after he died, and I started to manage the farm, then that was my focus of the poetry as well. And then when I was doing my thesis, which is on eco-poetry, so I was thinking then about my connection to the land, and then from an eco-poetical point of view, I was thinking about the land also as farmland, and then also as what it was before it was farmland, which of course was forest. And so then there's the tension between my sense of belonging to that farmland, which is quite a short, well, in my family it's two generations, compared with the many generations before Europeans who were on that land. So there's the cultural dispossession of the land, and then there's also the ecological destruction of the land to turn it into farmland. And on our farm, there's peat, which still has the stumps of kahikatea trees are still coming. They seem to be rising, but what's really happening is the land is sinking as it becomes more drained, and they're huge, and so they're a constant reminder of what used to be there.
I mean, there's all sorts of conflicts actually throughout your poetry, Janet, also of looking at the relationship between the farmers and stock, and that you can get very close to and have really personal feelings, but you know ultimately the outcome for most of the stock, and you reflect on that in your poetry.
Yeah, that's quite a source of tension, I think, and something that as a farmer of beef cattle who are destined for slaughter, and even though you look after them for maybe 2 years, and they come to trust you, and you come to trust them, and you have a way of working with them. You're probably out there every day with them or every second day. And then at the end of all that, they go off to slaughter. And it is affecting. And I think I just, in the poems, wanted to just pay attention to them as individuals. There's one poem called Singular Steer, where one steer gets itself in a tangle. And so from the mob, suddenly you can reflect on that steer's life, because remember all those animals that we see in the paddock, they're there all the time, but they're not the same animals. So if you think about one animal's life, what's it like for that animal? And it's just a way of drawing attention to those animals.
You have an ode to Mycoplasma bovis.
Yes.
That may be the first ode to that condition, which has been, you know, devastating,
yeah,
financially devastating and emotionally crippling, yeah, too, hasn't it?
Yeah, it's... I guess I was thinking about how that had come to New Zealand. It used to be called shipping fever, and it was as a result of animals being in confined spaces. And I read, there were a couple of actually Radio New Zealand article stories about it, and one of them suggested that it was because of intensification of especially dairying, and with animals in the South Island and some farms being kept in cubicles or, you know, inside for long periods of time may have contributed to that, or to it coming, or it may have come in through bull semen coming in, though it's treated with antibiotics, that it hadn't killed the virus. So it seemed like it was a product of increasing industrialisation of farming.
And also you're talking, I mean, the elements, of course, are important. As we speak, it's been all about floods, but here you've got drought, Horowhenua, this land that you love, and the impact of that on the land.
That was 2017 when we had a long drought, and I guess in that poem, just thinking about the implications of that and how it affects people and animals. And then the title poem, Unseasoned Campaigner, which is in four parts, and each part I personify one of the seasons and kind of think of the season in an extreme situation for summer, winter and spring at least, whereas maybe for summer it's a time when it's dry and hot for a lot of celebration amongst a lot of people, but that can be really devastating on a farm. Seasons can always be unexpected, and perhaps if there's more stock than you can cope with on a, because the title of the poem, Unseasoned Campaigner, suggests someone new to farming, like myself at the time. But I did exaggerate the circumstances for the poem, not necessarily what really happened. But it can almost seem like the season kind of is gloating, or in terms of the summer poem, is generous, but at the same time suggesting the limits of the land.
There's a poem I thought, Have a Plan, or You Feel Like You're Losing Control. And I guess for farming, I mean, there are so many things that are outside of your control. Have you experienced that? I'm taking it from the poetry that you have, that there are some tough times, the best laid plans of
Absolutely.
Farmers.
And the seasons are the thing. I was just thinking that today, that you can have everything best laid, but then if the weather is really bad for a really long time, perhaps over winter, you have a really long winter, it's really wet or very cold and the grass isn't growing and you've got a certain amount of hay for a certain number of animals, it's not economic to sell the animals at that time, your hay may be running short. I have had to buy in hay in desperation one year and the very first year that I did run the farm and I didn't have any hay, I bought some. And every year, I guess, I'm always thinking, is there enough hay? And sort of counting the bales down and rationing it out. And this year's been very mild so far.
Your second section of poems is called Tender, and you mentioned before you started writing about your dad. And these are beautiful poems about your father and your mum often. Your relationship with him and his relationship with the land you're exploring here.
Yeah, so I'm thinking of him as a farmer most of his life, and he was a man of his time, so he was farming during that time when there was a lot of physical labour involved. And so there was always that thing of the work, the hard work. And then he was also a World War II veteran, and that was always in the background, and he used to talk to us about the war, meaning me and my sister, but always in happy terms, I guess, tell us the funny stories, which was typical of someone of his experience. After my mother died, it seemed like those war experiences just came back to him in more intensity, which was quite affecting to me, because I thought perhaps with the length of time that it would have lessened, but in fact that trauma was clearly still there very strongly. He could be quite stern. As a child, I remember his sternness, but he did have a great tenderness towards animals. I guess that's where I've got that from, that seeing animals as sentient beings and to be treated with respect. I got the feeling as I got older that his sternness and his hardness was more something that he had developed in connection to his life as a farmer and a soldier, and that really he was very tender-hearted, but he didn't like to show it. And of course, for a man of his generation, it wasn't encouraged.
You talk us through his last years, the poem called His Bones, and you're talking about the fact that you know, his bones are wearing thin like sandstone pinnacles, you know. And I thought, yes, this relationship between our bodies and the land. I hadn't thought about that before.
Yeah.
It's not dissimilar, erosion and change.
Yes, and there's another poem called Weeds where I'm talking about him always going out every summer to grub thistles and then laying his ashes on the ground in the land. But thinking at the time that I'd always had the vision, it was the first time I'd ever seen a human ashes, and they're not like ashes, as you imagine ashes from a fire, but they look like grains of fertiliser, which reminded me of grains of fertiliser, just the white roundness of the grains. So it was like laying the fertiliser on the ground of his body.
The collection, I think, is going to resonate with people who are on the land and perhaps be an eye-opener for people who have never had any experience of farming.
Well,
is that your hope?
I don't know if I had a hope for it. I just wrote it as it came to me. But I've had people say that they live in an urban environment, but they may have come from a farm when they were a child or had experiences of farming with their grandparents, and that the poems resonate with them from those memories. But I would hope that they might just draw attention, especially the animal poems, to the animals that we eat, and just by paying attention to them, maybe just let us think a bit more about their lives.
And I think also perhaps, you know, an insight into the lives of farmers, because, you know, being in the media as I am, you know, there are always headlines and news stories and disputes and frustrations coming through and the politics of it, which is important. But perhaps this is a glimpse into the other aspect of life that we don't hear about or think about.
I think I wanted to talk about in the poems, or they're not trying to problem solve, or they're not political poems, they're poems of imagination and perception. But I guess they just want to reflecting on the complexities of farming and of other parts of life, and of trying to do the right thing for the environment at the same time as the commercial expediencies, and these things are always in tension. That's what interested me in writing them.
Unseasoned Campaigner by Janet Newman is published by Otago University Press.